I misspoke a little bit earlier here in regards to talking about the Minnesota Department of Health, report they had. There was only a single third trimester abortion in the state in 2022 out of a total 12,090. That one had to do with a health concern for the mother. One third trimester abortion in the state. The way the story read, it said one third. I said, well, I know that's not right. When I went back and read it, I saw that was it. So only a single one happened in the state in 2022. So just wanted to clarify that before we get away from that issue and talk about what is a lot of Vikings fans are very excited about, and that is the first round of the draft. Michael Broadcorp is not only an expert in politics, he covers politics from the right side of the aisle. He's also a great author, but he has also been anointed our Vikings expert. And he after he made a cardinal mistake, and I'm going to get to this in a second. Yeah, I think I needed to bring him in so he could basically tell people he's not going to go streaking. Hi, Michael. How are you?
How are you? It's great to be on.
Good to be on, man. So when my first radio job, I agreed because I didn't think it would be bad. I agreed, sure, you can sell me as far as a radio promo for a date for Valentine's Day. It was an absolute disaster, and I realized, do not open my mouth unless I absolutely have to on that. So I kind of stay away from that. You made the post, if they get J.J. McCarthy in the first round, you'll go streaking, because you clearly didn't think they were going to get J.J. McCarthy. And they indeed ended up at the 10th pick, moving up one spot, and they got J.J. McCarthy. Have you run in the buff through your neighborhood yet?
I have not. And that's another example of me tweeting before thinking and posting. I didn't think it was going to happen. And quite convincingly and quite fast, I was encouraged by both my neighbors and family members to do no streaking and just celebrate.
Their draft positioning was prior to the draft. But how did McCarthy, where this was quarterbacks were such in a premium, how did he fall to 10 at that point? What was your thought on that?
I think it was interesting. I think there was a number of dynamics at play. I think that there's questions about the overall, you know, this was a very heavy quarterback-focused draft. And I think when it came down to it, not every team is in a position where they need a quarterback right now, that they need to be building for their future. And so that, I think, allowed more flexibility for teams to pick, which allowed some of those picks to drop down farther, because not every team that was picking needed that level or didn't need necessarily a quarterback in that position. And so this was a very target-rich draft with good quality, top quality quarterbacks. And so that created the opportunity for the Vikings to pick up J.J. McCarthy, which is not something, I mean, that was kind of the hope and dream that I had, but it worked out great. And boy, oh boy, is it a big, did the Vikings do a good job last night?
I read one analysis that said pick 8 and pick 9. That was the Falcons and then the Bears. They basically, because of their situations, they could have easily moved down, which is why I think people were thinking McCarthy was going to be gone. They didn't move down. The Falcons mysteriously went with Penix Jr. The Bears, after they got their quarterback, got their wide receiver of the future. So it kind of opened us. We moved up one pick in a direct trade with the Jets that didn't cost us too much and get McCarthy. You know, there's a lot of people were saying he's a great pick. I mean, he was as high. I went after we drafted him and looked at some of the evaluations. They had him as high as, I think, 6 on the highest board. Some had him well into the second round. But, he clearly was going to be in demand with the need for the quarterbacks as the teams have them right now. You know, talk a little bit about why you're happy as a Vikings fan that he's now your quarterback.
Because I think that this is a guy who I think has the potential to come into the Vikings and play a role the first year that he's there. I think that's the type of caliber of player that he has. This is, without a doubt, I think, you know, this was the pick that I think a lot of Vikings fans were hoping they would get. And so I think this was just an A-plus pick. And I think he has the ability to come in and lead the team if needed yet this season. I think if you look at some of the other, we got to talk a little bit about the Atlanta pick, because yeah, I think that's creating, that will immediately create some drama. But I think the Vikings have set this up in a way by picking him. There's much more, I think, of the type of environment for JJ to kind of assemble into the Vikings team without that type of hostility and drama of a quarterback situation. I think the Vikings have set this up in just a fantastic way, because look at Atlanta and Cousins and who Atlanta drafted, and look at how the Vikings were able to get JJ. And there's you know what we're not talking about right now in Minnesota is we're not talking about any quarterback drama. Yeah. And one of the narratives that has come out of last night's draft is, did Atlanta just create a quarterback controversy in the draft? And that's going to be a distraction. And so I think the Vikings have really did. And I think it's pretty – I was looking at the letter grades that people were giving the draft, the teams last night, and the Vikings were very high up, very high up. A lot of folks said they were the best. They were the best team that had a draft night. Others were giving them A's and other types of grades. And so I think from a leadership perspective, the Vikings just – wrong reference point, hit it out of the park.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that was crazy about Atlanta, and I don't want to spend too much time on that, but, you know, they have their quarterback. Cousins is already upset. And they were basically, as the analysis said, you've got your quarterback. You need weapons. This tight end that the Raiders got is supposed to be the best tight end in the last 10 years, and they passed on him to go get, you know, Penix Jr. And, yeah, that it's questionable. Let's go to Dallas Turner, though, because this was another big, bold move. They moved up from 23 to 17. They did cost them a little bit, especially next year's draft, but they got Dallas Turner. The thing which is interesting is Dallas Turner, when you look at the rating boards, he was round 7 to 10 on every board. So we got him for a bargain at 17. And if you go with them, McCarthy was listed somewhere around probably 17 to 22. So we got we kind of drafted ahead of to get him, but with the quarterback demand that was necessary. But needless to say, with those two picks, we got value for those two picks, which matches up with those picks. And I think that that's a good sign.
Yeah, and think about how many times over the years, Matt, that the Vikings and Vikings fan base has been let down after a draft night.
Yep.
After this first-round draft pick. And I think what we saw, I think that you and I have discussed this at length, that this is the draft. This is season three of the new Viking leadership. So this was their night to perform. There was high expectations that they would pull some strings, pull some magic out of their hat, and bring some quality picks to Minnesota. And it was just really refreshing because, as you know and I know and I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, the Vikings on draft night, there has been some organizational problems. There's been some bad picks. There's also been some successes, but it's just refreshing to have this level of kind of analysis and commentary coming out from people that are a heck of a lot smarter than me, saying that the Vikings absolutely crushed it last night.
It's going to be a quiet night because our next pick's the fourth round, so, and I believe it's second and third round tonight. So it's going to be a quiet night for us here. We're not going to have too much with that. I'm presuming it's just, at this point, it's pieces. Do you think, you and I talked at the end of the season, now it comes down to getting the cogs filled, primarily probably running back. That do you think that there's still some people on the market that are going to try to get into the Vikings camp here to fill up those holes that they still have?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, I think it's fair to say, I absolutely will say this, and I don't want to be overly dramatic. Last night has the potential to be a franchise alternating night. I mean, it could really reshape the agenda, the focus, and the trajectory of this team. That's how much it has that potential. And I think when you look at the options that the Vikings have on the field, this is a team that can attract other talent that's out there. I mean, it was just an absolute home run. I know it, and by the way, I know it's football, and I shouldn't say home run, but it was an absolute touchdown, absolute home run. It was an absolute hat trick. It was a three-point shot,
three-pointer,
a buzzer beater, whatever you want to call it. It was just a really good night. And so, yeah, I think the Vikings performed very well. I will say, if you watch the draft like I did, there was one particular video. I forget who posted it, but there was a Green Bay Packer fan who looked visibly upset, visibly sick at some of the picks that the Packers made last night. And so from a rivalry of the NFC North, boy, oh boy, I think no one did better last night in the draft in the NFC other than the Minnesota Vikings.
Detroit was so ready. The crowd there was so ready to boo the Vikings. And then the commissioner brings out the family of the veteran. Okay. That was one way. I thought that was, you could actually, if you listen to it right before he introduces who's on the stage with him, they basically goes on out there and you could hear Detroit fan already turning. And, you know, the commissioner basically shut the Detroit fans up pretty well with that one.
Yes, and I just have to love it. I love that, you know, Gary Bettman in the NFL and Roger Goodell, those guys are booed more than anyone. And they take it in stride. They take it with laughs. And it was a great environment. And, yeah, it was a great way in which to silence the crowd. But I also will say I did not go to the draft party last night. I've been to draft parties before. And one other gauge that I will tell you on the enthusiasm is to watch videos of what the reaction was inside U.S. Bank at some of the draft parties. It was an absolutely fantastic level of enthusiasm. And boy, oh boy, I was excited. So excited I even contemplated going streaking, which nobody would have wanted to see. But I would. Hey, I did have my Viking tennis shoes on last night.
There you go.
So I would have had a little bit of purple and gold on.
Hey, next week, let's find a window for you to come on and talk about Nicole Mitchell, okay?
That'd be great. I appreciate it. Go Vikes.